Q106.7 weather.
Here's your KQNK forecast. 40 today under mainly sunny skies, east winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, lows around zero. Overcast tomorrow, chance of snow, high of 7 above. Temperatures well below average Saturday and Sunday, with highs from the single digits above zero to the low 20s. Chance of snow Saturday. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow through Saturday. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm staff meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Right now, 32.
This Kansas Information Network update is brought to you by Eaton Roofing and Exteriors.
Hi, I'm Felicia Rolfe. Here are today's headlines from 12 News. We are closely watching a winter storm coming to Kansas with snow and dangerous wind chills on the way. The snow begins Friday afternoon and continues through Saturday night. The heaviest snow will fall across south central Kansas. The Kansas Department of Children and Families say it's working to reduce errors in SNAP benefit payments. Kansas could lose $40 to $60 million per year starting in fiscal year 2027 if it doesn't resolve the issue. An Ellis County woman suing the video game Roblox and chat platform Discord. She says a predator groomed her daughter on the apps in 2024, saying the companies don't take enough action to protect children. In Wichita, Felicia Rolfe, 12 News.
You're listening to the Kansas Information Network.
You say you'd never give in to a meltdown. Never let kids' toys take over the house. And never fill your feed with kid photos. You'd never plan your life around their schedule. Never lick your thumb to clean their face. And you'd never let them leave the house looking like less than their best. You say you'd never put a pacifier in your mouth to clean it. Never let them stay up too late. And never let them run wild through the grocery store.
Peanuts on aisle 6. And aisle 3.
So when you say you'd never let them get into a car without you there, no, it can happen. 1 in 4 hot car deaths happen when a kid gets into an unlocked car and can't get out. Never happens. Before you leave the car, always stop, look, lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Good afternoon. I'm Mandy Fick with your KQNK News, brought to you by the Norton County Hospital, providing the best care right here at home. A new statewide report says Kansas foster children are rarely interacting with their court-appointed legal advocates, leaving many young voices unheard in the child welfare system. The findings come from an 18-month review of Kansas's guardian ad litem system, which provides attorneys to represent children in abuse and neglect cases. The review found that many of the problems facing the system today closely mirror issues identified more than two decades ago when the last statewide evaluation was conducted. At the center of the problem are excessive caseloads, limited training, and low compensation for advocates. Kansas does not have a universal cap on the number of cases an advocate can handle, and most advocates who responded to the review reported workloads far above national recommendations. Best practices suggest full-time advocates handle no more than 60 cases and part-time advocates no more than 30. However, some part-time advocates in Kansas reported caseloads exceeding 200 children at a time. The report found that overwhelming workloads make it nearly impossible for advocates to regularly meet with children, build trust, or thoroughly investigate cases. Low pay, particularly in larger counties, further worsens recruitment and retention issues. Because each county sets its own rules for pay, training, and caseloads, the advisory committee concluded the current decentralized system lacks the oversight needed to correct these problems. Lawmakers expressed concern about the cost of reducing caseloads while increasing compensation, especially for counties with limited resources. The report outlined several possible solutions, including placing oversight under a central state office, creating regional systems, or establishing statewide standards for local courts. The committee warned that without significant changes, the same concerns could persist for decades, leaving foster children without the strong legal representation they need. Kansas lawmakers are considering a proposal that would expand criminal background checks for anyone working or volunteering in schools. During a hearing before the Senate Judiciary Committee, the director of the Kansas Bureau of Investigation highlighted several cases involving school workers who were accused or convicted of crimes against children and who were not required to undergo fingerprint-based background checks before working around students. The bill, Senate Bill 246, would require state and national fingerprint-based criminal history checks every 5 years for all public and private school employees and volunteers. That includes not only teachers, but also paraprofessionals, coaches, therapists, bus drivers, custodians, food service workers, contractors, volunteers, and some administrators. While licensed teachers already undergo fingerprint background checks, the bill would formally place that requirement into state law and extend it to many other positions that often have close or private contact with students. Under the proposal, applicants would pay for the background check themselves, or school districts could choose to cover the cost. The current fee is $57, which covers processing through both the Kansas Bureau of Investigation and the FBI. Concerns were raised about whether the background checks could be completed quickly enough, particularly for rural school districts that meet infrequently. KBI officials reported that while they promised results within 7 to 10 business days, the current average turnaround time is about 9 hours. The bill would affect tens of thousands of school workers statewide each year and is supported by multiple state agencies. It follows a 2023 audit recommendation calling for mandatory fingerprint-based background checks on a 5-year cycle for all school employees. No opposition was raised during the committee hearing, and lawmakers are continuing to review the proposal. The Kansas Department of Agriculture is asking farmers, ranchers, and ag service providers to take part in the 2026 Kansas Custom Rates Survey. The survey is designed to gather up-to-date information on what Kansans are paying or charging for agricultural custom work. That includes services like custom harvesting, field and land work, haying, feed preparation, and machinery rental. The survey is administered through Kansas State University's Land Use Survey Office and is open now through March 31st, 2026. It takes about 15 minutes to complete. Accurate pricing information can play a critical role in keeping agricultural operations sustainable. Whether someone is hiring custom services or providing them, having reliable, competitive rate data helps with planning, budgeting, and contract decisions. The survey is voluntary, anonymous, and confidential, and results are published every 2 years as a resource for the agriculture community. Participants can complete the survey online, and options are also available for those who prefer to participate by mail or over the phone. The Custom Rates Survey is a collaborative effort between the Kansas Department of Agriculture's Division of Agriculture Marketing and the Land Use Survey Office within K-State's Department of Agricultural Economics. More information and the survey link are available online. I'll be back with more of your news after this.
Join our stellar team at Norton County Hospital. Looking for a workplace where compassion meets career growth? Look no further. If you're ready to embark on a fulfilling journey surrounded by supportive colleagues and opportunities for personal and professional development, we want you to be part of our family. Explore exciting career offerings and our comprehensive range of benefits, including CAPERS, on the Career tab at ntcohosp.com.
Continuing with your news, unofficial minutes from the Norton County Board of Commissioners meeting from January 12, 2026. Chairman Thompson called the meeting of the Norton County Board of Commissioners to order at 9 a.m. on January 12, 2026 in the commission room. In attendance were Chairman Richard Thompson, Commissioner Marvin Matchett, Commissioner Garrett Beidler, County Clerk Craig Renner, County Attorney Abigail Horn, and Road and Bridge Supervisor Ernie Sheets. In general discussion, weekly correspondence, minutes, fund balances, resolution to be considered, abatements 2026 1, 2, and 3 were distributed to the commissioners. From the Road and Bridge Department, Ernie presented the commission with information regarding a building to park the machinery in. He asked if Norton County had participated in the K-Camp Safety Grant Program, which the county has. Ernie left the meeting at 9:08 a.m. Executive session at 9:09 a.m., Commissioner Beidler moved to go into executive session to discuss non-elected personnel with Commissioner Matchett, Commissioner Beidler, Chairman Thompson, Clerk Renner, and County Attorney Horn to be present and to return to the meeting at 9:20 a.m. Commissioner Matchett seconded the motion. Motion carried 3-0. At 9:20 a.m., the commissioner came out of executive session. No action was taken. Resolution for Solution North. Commissioner Beidler moved to accept a resolution for Solutions North called Resolution of Governing Body Extract of Minutes dated January 12, 2026. Commissioner Matchett seconded the motion. Motion carried 3-0. From the Norton County Appraiser, Norton County Appraiser Mindy Harding joined the meeting at 10 a.m. Mindy wanted the commission to be informed about the current Senate bill to cap assessed valuations of existing homes, excluding new construction and new sales, at 3% per year. The commission said they had been following the legislation. Mindy presented a spreadsheet giving examples of the effects of the proposal. The bottom line is that the results of the legislation would not lower taxes for everyone in the county. It would simply shift who was paying them. Commercial property and ag property would see increases if the total tax dollars are left the same. She inquired about the county/city airport hangar and reported on her progress in staffing her department. Abatements 2026 1, 2, and 3 were explained and signed off by Chairman Thompson. Mindy left the meeting at 10:20 a.m. Commissioner Beidler moved to approve January 5, 2026 minutes as amended. Commissioner Matchett seconded the motion. Motion carried 3-0. Commissioner Beidler moved to adjourn the meeting with no further business, and Chairman Thompson adjourned the meeting at 10:58. A celebration of life for Colette Sharp Miller will be held at the Norton Christian Church Friday, January 23, 2026 at 2 p.m. with Jamie M. Long officiating. Snacks and refreshments in the church following the services. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. Thursday, January 22nd at the funeral home. A private family interment will be held at a later date as the family is honoring her wish for cremation. Because of Colette's unwavering love for the community of Norton and living at the lake, in lieu of flowers, memorials are encouraged to the Norton County Community Foundation or Friends of the Lake and may be sent in care of Plummy Garmer Funeral Home, 215 West Main Street in Norton. Condolences may be left at www.plummergarmer.com. I'm Mandy Fick. Your KQNK News was brought to you by the Norton County Hospital. You can call 785-877-3351 for all your health care needs.
Kansas Agriculture Network News.
Good day, everyone. I'm Greg Akagi. A congressman representing one of the top corn-growing regions says farmers want markets, not just government assistance. Nebraska Congressman Adrian Smith says farmers face significant economic pressures, and that's why he continues to push legislation to permanently authorize E15 ethanol sales year-round. He says expanding E15 would strengthen demand for corn, encourage investment, and reduce fuel costs for investors.
And when you look at producers themselves, what they tell me, they're anxious to produce for a market. Yes, there have been, you know, some assistance payments most recently. They appreciate that, but they want to produce for a market, and that's what's guiding me on my efforts on E15. And to get that in statute, I think that would be a real opportunity.
Smith says he hopes legislation can move forward soon. A new Civil Eats food policy tracker report this week underscored the flurry of federal actions shaping U.S. food and agriculture policy, including dairy, nutrition, and farm support initiatives. The tracker catalogs policy shifts such as changes in school dairy standards, nutrition guidelines, and evolving farm safety net programs, offering stakeholders a comprehensive view of current trends. Experts say such transparency is key for producers and consumers navigating the complex intersection of health, agriculture, and economics. A surge in legislative and executive activity reflects growing attention to food affordability, nutrition, and agricultural sustainability amid broader economic pressures. The tracker also highlights state-level debates over farmland taxation and conservation, indicating that agriculture policy is increasing in multi-layered issues across the U.S. This is the Kansas Ag Network.
Here's that song again.
Yay!
Here's that song again.
For the 100th time today.
Here's that song again.
It's gonna be stuck in
your head all day.
Yay!
Here's that song again.
It will make you cray cray.
You love your kids enough to watch that TV show a bajillion times.
Yay!
Love them enough to make sure they're in the right car seat for their age and size. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This corn growing season, the pressure is on. You've got to work smarter, not harder. So turn to TribaPro. As the hardest working, longest lasting corn fungicide, TribaPro works overtime to protect plant health and your potential yield, even in fields with low disease pressure. When you need your inputs to go above and beyond, choose TribaPro fungicide for disease control you can take to the bank. Ask your retailer for TribaPro today. Always read and follow label instructions.
Kansas Agriculture Network weather.
I'm meteorologist Michael Carr on the Kansas Agriculture Network. Some much colder weather along with some plowable snow expected across much of the region once we get beyond today, with that snow beginning initially across western portions of Kansas into the day on Friday and then spreading across much of the region as we start off the upcoming weekend. Still expecting high temperatures yet for this afternoon to climb up well into the 30s to lower 40s into northern Kansas, with highs well into the 40s, close to 50 in the south. But by tomorrow, we'll be talking high temperatures only in the single digits and lower teens in the north, with teens to near that 20 mark in southern Kansas. A winter storm watch and cold weather advisory beginning Friday for much of the state. For northwest Kansas, for this afternoon, we'll see mostly sunny skies with highs in the upper 30s to lower 40s. Winds turning to the northeast at 5 to 10. For north central Kansas, sunny to partly cloudy skies this afternoon with highs into the lower 40s. Winds turn to the northeast around 10 miles per hour. Into northeastern Kansas for this afternoon, we'll see a blend of clouds and sunshine, high temperatures climbing into the lower to middle 40s. Winds will be out of the north at less than 10 miles per hour. For southeastern Kansas for this afternoon, looking for sunny to partly cloudy conditions, high temperatures climbing up into the middle to upper 40s, close to 50 degrees though in areas down closest to the Oklahoma border. Winds out of the east around 5 to 10 miles per hour. Into south central Kansas for this afternoon, a blend of clouds and sunshine, high temperatures in the upper 40s to near 50 degrees. Southeast winds at 5 to 10. And back into southwestern Kansas for this afternoon, sunny to partly cloudy skies with highs in the middle to upper 40s. Lover winds turning to the east and northeast at 5 to 15 miles per hour. This is the Kansas Ag Network.
The Voice of Agriculture, Kansas Farm Bureau.
The Farmer Bridge Assistance Program sets aside $12 billion in assistance for U.S. farmers and ranchers. Farm Bureau economist Faith Parham says rates vary based on each eligible crop.
Farmers should have reported their acreage to FSA by the December deadline, and now all they have to do is wait for a pre-filled application. So they should stay in contact with their local FSA agents to see how those pre-filled applications will be distributed. There should be a payment by the end of February.
Parham says only $1 billion was set aside for specialty crop producers, which she says won't be enough.
There's hundreds and hundreds of specialty crops. They have higher input costs. They have really high labor costs, high technology costs.
Learn more on the Market Intel page at fb.org. And listen again here for more from the Voice of Agriculture, Kansas Farm Bureau.
This is Jan Teen for Norton Livestock Market here in Norton, Kansas, with our early consignments for our special bred heifer stock cow pair sale, along with our regular sale today, January 22 at 1 o'clock in the breeding stock. Here's 55 black with a few black, white face, and red, white face heifers. Home raised, scour shots, all the breeding shots given. Bull bred for February 20th calving at 1,150 pounds. 8 black, black, white face bred heifers. Ultrasounded to calve in March, bred to low birth weight Dix bulls, scour shot, and other breeding shots given. They've been poured at 1,050. 37 black bred cows. Short, solid, and an older bred Angus or Sim Angus cross for March 10 calving. 18 black, black, white face bred cows. Older cows, bred mostly black with a few of them bred Hereford for March 10 calving. 14 black and red cows are 48 years old, bred black and red for April and May calving. 25 mixed older bred cows, bred for spring calving. 11 black cows, solid mouth, been with the Hereford bulls since October 1. There's 3 pairs on the deal. 4 black, black, white face mixed pairs. 4 longhorn cows are 4 to 10 years old, bred black for spring calving. We got one paint mare. She's 8 years old, not broke. In the calves off the cow, here's 125 head. They'd be 75% black, with the balance being black nose char crosses with steers and heifers at 450 to 650. 50 mixed colored steers at 550 to 700. 11 black, black, white face heifers at 600. 7 black, black, white face steers and heifers at 550 to 700. 14 black, black, white face steers and heifers at 450 to 6 and a quarter. In the wean calves and feeders, here's 40 red and black, white face steers at 550 to 700. 43 black, black, white face heifers at 650. In the replacement heifers, here's 24 red Angus heifers. They've been OCV vaccinated. They passed their tract and pelvic exam, had every shot you can give one. They weigh 600 to 650. In the weigh cattle, we'll have a seasonal trial run of weigh cows and bulls. We're expecting more consignments of all classic cattle by sale time. Hope to see you at this auction. Thank you.